Hallelujah. Oh, let's just praise Him for a moment. Praise Your holy name tonight, Father. You're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. You're faithful, Lord, ever true. Thank You, Jesus, for all You've done. Thank You, Lord. Blessed be His name. We love You, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God tonight. Praise His name. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. It's good to have each one in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad that, at least for me, I like being here.
Yes.
Amen. 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 It's a refuge from the things of this world and the obligations we have in life. You know, I believe the Lord gave us a little sanctuary to get away. And I believe it just speaks of that great getaway we'll have here soon. We won't have to worry about any of these things down here no more. Is that what you're living for?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if it's worth living for, it's worth dying for. It's worth sacrificing for. It's worth selling your life. Anything you think's worth anything, it's worth selling it out for. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. As Dad said, I've had a leading this Tuesday. It's been a long time since I had him, but just felt to ask Brother Josiah Cornett to come preach for us this Sunday. Right after I'd asked him, I just felt that I could tell I need a break. Let's just put it that way. I think I've learned, Brother Ken, I got about seven in me, at least while I'm full-time teaching. During the summer, it ain't the same, but I got about seven in a row. I think, you know, I'm being all spiritual now, you know, completion. Then I kind of need a service off here or there. But it's been a little while since we had Brother Josiah, and I think it'd be good. I've been blessed when he's been here. I trust you have as well. So we're doing that here this Sunday. Brother Cameron and Napoleon there is having service this weekend. It's on the board. We got prayer next Saturday. That'll be at 5:00 here. So I think that's everything by the way of announcements. Everything with the building seems to be going good. I think the repairs are all done. We're going to get them checked out one more time just to make sure. Financially, we're looking pretty good. The Lord's moving a lot of hearts, and I appreciate that. And we'll get moving here shortly. You know, it's Wednesday night. We're doing okay, but Sundays are starting to get a little crowded. So what the Lord knows, and we pray for Brother Dan that he doesn't get a complex moving everybody around. And everybody still loves him because he's just trying to do his job. And it's not a deacon now, but he does usher to make sure people are welcome and things like that. And I think that's good. And I appreciate what Dad, Dan, Sister Violet, and what everyone does in the house of God. So God bless you, saints. Just a real short passage this morning before we get started. Genesis 3 and verse 14. I have to continue on the masterpiece. I don't know if we're done yet. We'll see what the Lord has, but I pray this will speak to you as it spoke to me when God gave it to me. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'd like to preach tonight on one perfect blemish. One perfect blemish. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart also. Do you have a need on your heart you'd like to lift up to God? Say, Lord, it might feel just like a hand, but hear my heart, Lord, and hear my heart's cry tonight. God bless your hands all over. Let's pray and invite the Lord our own way. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us again, and thank you for calling us your children and bringing us out of a world of darkness and giving us light, Lord, to shine in our path. Lord, when we're sick, we've got somewhere to run to. When we're lost, we've got someone to give us a mind and even know what to do. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you always bestow your love upon us day in and day out. And we're forever grateful for that. Lord, we come tonight not to hear the words of a man, not to have a social gathering, but Lord, we come that your word might come off these pages and might speak to our hearts, Lord, and that there be something eternal happen in every heart that's here, that we wouldn't be the same. What we came in as, we'll leave out different. We'll leave out better suited to serve you, Lord, and to bring glory into your name. Forgive us, Lord, of our many ways, our sins, our iniquities. We pray your blood would speak for us, Lord, and wash us clean. Lord, you that know every heart's desire, I pray that your word will come and fulfill that in every life that's here. May you be glorified in the service, we pray. Speak through my lips, Father, but may every heart hear your word today. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Praise the Lord. How many loves Jesus today? Hallelujah. You know, I believe as the Bible says, he that will humble himself, God will exalt. Brother Branham says, if you just want to get closer to the kingdom, you just need to get humbler and humbler and be as simple as you can be. And I believe we're really to that point now where we just, it's got to be the word is it. And everything else just, it doesn't matter anymore. It has no bearings on it. My feelings don't mean anything. My thoughts about stuff don't mean anything. It's what God has revealed in his word that is my absolute. It is my anchor. Everything else is secondary to that, brother, sister. Amen. I thank God for a word that I don't have to sit here and scratch my head about all day. I don't have to see, well, how does that line up with the scriptures? It lines up with the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. That's right. And you can't find an interpretation of the word that will hold the whole Bible together because there's only one. There's only one way, brother, sister. There's not two ways. There's not three. God has one way. And that's the message of the hour. And the message of the hour is Jesus Christ. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everything he was, everything he is, he always will be. It will not change. He's not losing power. He's not losing authority. He's not losing his children.
Amen.
And his word will not fail. Brother Branham said he'll bankrupt heaven before he lets one of his promises fail.
Amen.
If you think God's promise failed, I'm going to tell you what happened. Your faith failed. Because God does not fail his word. Amen. Now, when we think of perfection, God's opinion of perfection is perfection. What we think about perfection doesn't matter. It's what God called perfection. And we could turn right there, Hebrews 1. I'm sure you're familiar with it if you're a Bible student, but Hebrews 1, and just right there in verse 1. So we're still preaching on the masterpiece. I've sure been enjoying the word that God's been given.
Amen.
Man, it feeds our souls. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Right here you see God has been expressing himself all the way back from the beginning. There's not two gods, there's not three. When God expresses himself in a different way, that didn't make a new God. There was one God all the time. And God had spoke through his prophets all the way back from the beginning, all back in Adam all the way till now, brother, sister. And God promised to use prophets the whole way through.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Some people think New Testament ended prophets. There ain't no scripture for that nowhere. Actually said he sent prophets. I'll get to that here in a little bit. But it said in this day, he's spoken by his Son. Why? The Holy Ghost has now come. And you don't have to go find a prophet to hear the word.
Amen.
You're supposed to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God sends that word through a prophet. That's true, brother, sister. Don't get off on tangents now. But the Holy Ghost in you is the only way for you to receive it. And that's how God speaks to his children.
Amen.
Amen. There's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And every person has to come to that.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're not part of it, brother, sister. But this Son that he called, he said he is the expressed image of God. The God that you couldn't see now became visible. It became a form that you could look at, you could handle, you could feel, you could taste, you could know that he is real.
Amen.
I wonder if we really believe that. Or has Satan come and duped us and made us think that, you know, this is just a nice idea? No, he's real.
Amen.
He's still real. He's still alive.
Yeah.
How do you know? That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's literally Jesus Christ still alive.
Amen.
People trying to prove the resurrection by apologetics and looking at the message and lining this up with this. You prove it by making the word manifest.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord.
That's right, brother, sister. Christ is the expressed image of God's person. He is the image of perfection. And as we just read there in the book of Genesis, he was that woman seed that would come and smash the devil's head down. We still believe that?
Yeah.
Or has the devil still got power? Still, devil still got authority? Does the devil still get preeminence in our lives? And can he, oh man, I'd overcome, but I'm in Laodicea and it's too hard, brother. Or is his head crushed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get on a tangent, but we'll try to get one chain. On Wednesday, I try not to diverge as much as possible, but let the Lord have his way. Coming out of the identified masterpiece of God. Brother Branham says this, 1964. He says, "And finally came the head of this great body, which was Christ himself. All the prophets had foretold of him. All the foundation work had foretold of him. All the way from the Garden of Eden, from the very time that he started, I'll put enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed." And we find out that he started there and come out through the patriarchs into the prophets and come out there. And once again, we've seen his own reflection when one man was born on the earth from the womb of a woman. That was God's masterpiece. It was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The reason he was, because he was perfectly the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we see reflected in him a perfect masterpiece. He was so perfect like God until he said, "If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Though you can't believe me, believe the works, for they testify to you who I am." I like that. See, he said, "If you don't believe me," they said, "you're a man making yourself God." He said, "If you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. And if I don't do the works of him that sent me, you don't have no right to believe me." So ought every Christian today to have the same testimony.
Amen.
If in this promised word of God, if our lives don't qualify to meet exactly what the word said, then we have no right to call ourselves Christians if we're not born again.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe." See, not they may, they ought to, they probably will. They shall do it. That's the sculptor that made us. That's the church that's hewed out. That's the body of Christ.
Sure.
Hallelujah. This Son of God that God had foreordained from the foundation of the world. This is God's perfect image of what a man is supposed to look like. Of what a man's supposed to act like. What a man's supposed to do when he's tempted to go away from the Word. Hallelujah. What a man's supposed to do when the denominations don't like it. What a man's supposed to do when his best friends don't understand the word and are trying to tempt him away from it.
Sure.
Hallelujah. What a man's supposed to do when he knows if he stays with the word of God, he'll split his church right down the middle.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That he knows if he goes and talks to the minister or group he's a part of and stays with the word, he's going to break all 70 out of there. When he comes out of the end of the road and nobody knows what he's talking about, when the Father reveals to him what it's time to say, that he's about to go back up to the right hand where he came from.
Sure.
Are you willing to still say it?
Right.
Knowing you'll be the only one who gets it.
Right.
People looking for the rapture in a way that they believe the bride will be glorified in the eyes of sinner. Brother, sister, they've killed every generation of believers.
That's right.
And you tell me they think that they're doing evil? No, the Bible told us they wouldn't. He said they will kill you thinking they do God's service.
Right.
We look at you go read the Fox Book of Martyrs and things like that and look at these old saints and we think what a glory that was for them to go down. They went down as criminals.
That's right.
They went down as renegades. They went down as disturbers of the peace.
That's right.
Why? Because they just couldn't get over the fact that, you know what? You bunch of women are wearing men's clothes.
Right.
And said it in public.
Right.
And did it even when they were a school teacher and everybody says separation of church and state.
Right.
Yep. Glory. Hallelujah. We're living in the last day, brother, sister. And God, let me just read one more scripture. The Bible says this, Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Brother Branham preached the stature of a perfect man, and I was this way. I'm sure you might have been that way too. I was looking at me, thinking, how can I build up the perfect man?
Right.
How can I become the perfect man? How can I shave off this thing that's in my life and this one and build up the perfect man? But the Bible declares there's only one perfect man, and that one perfect man is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what did he send? Uh-oh. What did he send to get the bride back to perfection?
Come on.
Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists.
That's right.
Now we don't kick the prophet out. Don't make it no fourfold.
Right.
Sure.
Heard that before. No, the tapes are the word of the God for this hour.
Right.
That's right. But there's still gifts to work through that.
Right.
And when, you know, oh yeah, we got to kick the TV out, but you know, keep internet. No quotes on that, brother. Shows a lack of understanding. That's right. You know, when Moses gave the promise that they would get a promised land, it still took a Joshua to lead him into where to go. Then it took after he was going to land. He said, there's still much land to be taken. What are you all doing still here?
Right.
It took men just led up by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Not to go into a different word, but to fulfill the word that was already given. And here we are, 50 years after it's done been prophesied, it's going to happen. The bride has to show up. She's got to be here. There's no way for it to fail at all.
Amen.
This isn't looking at a quota we can never reach. It's we are predestinated to be this.
Amen.
Why? Because I am this life.
Yes.
I'm not becoming a perfect man by rebuilding me. I've died.
Amen.
And the seed that was in me is Christ. The seed that's in the believer is Christ. And when the Holy Ghost comes, it quickens that life.
Yes. Amen.
And then that life pushes out a perfect man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now when we think of perfection, and we're all this way, you know, I think that even when I've done notes in my Bible, you know, and I got to, you know, I want to underline this. I got to be real careful, you know, because I don't want to mess it up. And then I'll get a little wiggle in there. I'll get so mad. I just did that here in Galatians. I got, you know, bear you one another's burden. You can't hardly even read this anymore. Because when I went to circle, I see I scribbled it all up. And it just drives me crazy. You know, and we think if it was perfect, you know, I go through my message books the same. And I like to underline things. And I'm real meticulous about, I want it to look nice, you know. You know, it's good to read these once in a while. Or all the time.
Amen.
Well, after you pray. Anyways, Brother Bram did say you could study too much, but he said you couldn't. I don't believe you could pray too much.
That's right. Amen.
Paul raised the standard pretty high when he said, I would that men prayed always. Hallelujah. And we used to think, how in the world are we going to do that? But then if you recognize how to be in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we've received the Holy Ghost, let's live a life in the Holy Ghost. Let's stop vacationing into the Holy Ghost and realize that it's with us and we ought to always be living in it.
Amen.
God didn't just go on a honeymoon with us. We're married to Him.
Amen.
And you know what? It ain't all flowery and glory all the time when you're married.
Right.
But it's real. But it's real. When the hard times come, that's where you prove whether you're married or not.
Right.
That's right. Everybody can be happy in glory when there ain't nothing wrong going on. And it's happening to our churches too, brother, sister. We begin to have hard times come around. We begin to have people that can talk a better talk than most message preachers.
Right.
And because people ain't born again, they start falling for that stuff.
Right.
That's true. Because if you got saved here, you'll get talked out of it in no time.
Right.
The devil's the king up here. And you know what? God put him there on purpose.
Amen.
He did it on purpose to attack the minds of men because that's where the battle was waged from.
Amen.
You have to make the choice which one you're going to listen to.
That's right.
Amen. Men think they come up with ideas, but every man is totally dependent upon inspiration. That even includes the world, brother, sister.
Right.
We do not come up with thoughts. We decide what we're going to choose. And why? And if you can recognize how simple that is and recognize I should just choose the word every time,
amen.
Maybe you wouldn't be on these rabbit trails all the time in our lives.
Sure.
But you know, maybe it says, no, you're already on. You're done off. Told you the word's the absolute. The word's a person.
Right.
That person lives in you.
Amen.
And when that voice comes up, tells you to do the word of God, what's the first thing that's going to show up right after that?
Right.
Well, you're going to look weird. Don't you feel a little funny about that?
Right.
Then you're sitting there doing something in the world and you don't feel funny at all about it. Huh?
True.
Huh? I wonder how that worked. That's because the devil knows you based on feelings.
Right.
And the only person that needs to base their things on feelings is a blind man.
That's right.
Amen.
Because he can't see where he's going, so he's got to base it on feelings.
That's right.
But But a man that's got sight don't need his feelings. He can see the cliff up there. I don't even touch nothing. I ain't dying.
Amen.
People are afraid a preacher, something's going to lead them off the cliff. The Bible said the blind lead the blind into the ditch. If you got sight by the Holy Ghost, I don't care how blind any man is, he can't lead you off the ditch.
Amen.
If I saw a blind man about to walk out of the road, I said, hey, don't go out there. You're going to get hit by a car. He said, no, bro, I'm telling you, this is the way to go. I got sight enough, I don't believe you. But brother, I read it in the quotes. I got this scripture. God revealed it to me. I'm watching what you're doing by the word of God. You're about to die.
Right. Amen.
When people start letting down the bars, act like we can do things of the world and act like the world and miss church for things of the world, help us, Lord.
Amen.
I still believe in preaching old-fashioned gospel, brother, sister.
Amen.
I'm ready to go back all the way. Let's just say it like that. Sometimes I think we're offended by quotes anymore.
Sure.
That's right. Hallelujah. Mercy. Y'all help me out now. Though Jesus was perfect, he was born the Son of God. He was perfection from the beginning. He never sinned. He was tempted by sin, but he never gave in to temptation. Isn't that right? He's the one man that lived a perfect life, even in a body made like unto sin.
Yes. Wow.
And guess what? None of us can do it.
Right.
And God don't expect you to do it. God knew you wouldn't do it. So he gave his own son to die for you in your place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in that perfect image, as we just read there, all the way back when God first spoke of this seed coming, what did he say? He said, though you'll crush the serpent's head, he will bruise your heel.
Amen.
He will leave an impression that he did do something. And what would we say? You've marred the perfect image. You've ruined perfection. Talking about one perfect blemish today. Let me read this out of the Identified Masterpiece of God, 1964. Brother Bram goes in about Michelangelo making Moses, and I'd like to read this. He said, I believe that's right, Michelangelo, that great sculptor that molded out this, or an image of Moses. And as he was explaining it, the guide that he was taking us through, he said that was one of the greatest masterpieces that Michelangelo ever formed. And said it took much of his life, hard work. Then I noticed, I believe it was on the right knee. The statue looked perfect, smooth, and Moses was with the table of the laws in his hands and his long beard. And it was, of course, the metal conception of Michelangelo, what Moses should have looked like. Perhaps had never seen a picture, but in his own mind, he drawed out what he thought that Moses should look like. And the story goes, as soon as the statue finished and he rubbed perfectly, he stood back and viewed his work. And when he got so inspired till it took so much, what he had in his mind, he had made with his hands. And he looked so much like it all the years he'd been waiting on it. Till he was so carried away with inspiration, he smote it upon the knee and cried out, speak! And there's a broken place on the leg, knee of Moses, where Michelangelo struck with a hammer, for he was so inspired. See, there was something inside of him at the beginning that he drew a mental picture of what he thought Moses ought to look like. And when he seen that reflected before him, the very thing that he had on his mind, what he thought Moses should have looked like, and carried the vision with him all them years and years, as he took the great piece of granite and chipped a piece here and a piece there and marked it down, because it had to come perfectly. And when it was perfected before him, he seen the reflection of what was in his mind. That's what inspired him so to strike the image and cry out, speak. All his years of toil had paid off. His great handiwork had been finished. And God did the same when he wanted to make his perfect man, his perfect image of what a man ought to be. He made the Son of God, and he came and he fashioned him. The Bible says he learned by the things that he suffered.
Amen.
Bible says he grew in stature and in favor between God and men. But for the first 30 years of his life, as far as anybody knew, he's just another man. The only time you see him doing anything that would have gave anything off is when he was in the temple telling priests what the Bible's all about and never read it for.
Right.
Glory to God. Why? You can figure out all the words you want up here, but when it comes to Revelation, it'll outshine any theology you got, brother, sister. And the same thing's happening this day. But that one image, that perfect image of Moses sitting there, it was finally reflected, but the inspiration struck him. And he said, but it's got to live. I want to see it live. And he smote it. Now he's just making a statue. It ain't going nowhere. But when God smote his son, life came from it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You might be saying, Brother Andrew, where are you going with this? The whole image of Christ was perfection, but until it was smitten, it wasn't perfect in God's mind yet. It had not accomplished what He wanted.
Amen.
Without the blemish to bring it out, it was just perfection like the devil was.
Right.
Which is just a picture, it's just an image. The devil said he was perfect in all his beauty till iniquity was found in you. We go through the old patriarchs, brothers and sisters. I'm going to show you. God has shown this over and over and over again. When Moses was on his commission, and we think about the great things that Moses did, what speaks out is when he made his mistake.
Sure.
And he hit that rock twice. Are you hearing me now? Come on.
Yeah.
And what did God do? He said, you glorified yourself, Moses.
Amen.
He proved what he was. He had the authority to do something that a man could not do.
That's right.
And it also spoke, it fulfilled his commission there, brother, sister. What looked like Moses' failure fulfilled the commission. Why? Brother Bram said it showed the weakness of the word at the time that the Messiah couldn't come yet.
Right.
The permissive will, brother, sister, I know you're getting caught on that we got to go perfect will, but the permissive will works right back to the perfect will every time.
Amen.
Sure.
In the midst of looking like he had failed, he perfectly showed what God was about to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a mighty man named Samson one time, and we know the stories of when he took on 1,000 Philistines, no problem.
Sure.
When he took a lion and ripped him with his own hands, didn't even need anything. But what showed what Samson really was is when he had failed, when he had lost his commission, when he found himself with his eyes plucked out, serving at the mill for so long that his hair finally grew back.
Yep.
And he stood between two pillars.
Sure.
This is what we remember him for. This is when he showed what he really was. What looked like destruction was actually perfecting who he was.
Amen.
And in his death, he bowed his head. He said, once more, Lord. I've made a wreck of it, but once more.
Yes.
Amen.
And God perfected that ministry, and he pulled those things down and killed more at his death than he did in all his life.
Sure.
David, a mighty man of God, a man who could look Goliath in the face, not as scared a bit about him. He said, what are you all afraid about? How would you feel about that? Brother, I got cancer. Do you understand? Brother, I got this devil. Do you understand? Then you find a man with faith. He says, what? Bring it on.
Yep.
See how offended you got quick? Why? Because you don't. Faith will offend unbelief all the time.
That's right.
That's right. Faith looks insensitive. Faith looks like you don't understand. No, I understand. The difference is I understand God.
Amen.
And I know how big He is.
Amen.
You might not be able to see Him because He's so small, He's so big.
Right.
Way up is down. He got so small, He becomes so big.
Amen.
Sit there and took a rock and knocked a Goliath down. Yeah. We think, what a mighty man. He led the armies and defeated enemies on every side. They went and killed other giants. His inspiration killed one giant, fed into other brothers. They went off and killing giants.
That's right.
That's right. Well, what really speaks of David's character? What really shows you that he was a real man of God? Saul had those victories.
Sure,
yeah. Other men had these victories. Joab had these victories. We found out how his end went.
Right.
Is when he made a mistake. When he saw one pretty woman, lusted after her. Even God came to him and said, if you would have asked me, would I have kept her from you? Wouldn't have been, I've said this before, but wouldn't have been great for Uriah to go into a battle and to so exhaust himself, wiping out the enemy, he falls down dead in battle. And then the stories would have flowed throughout Israel. Look at this mighty man. Look at him stand for Israel. He's not even an Israelite.
Right.
Instead, he has to go down as a fool.
Right.
He could have, you know, and if his wife was, if Uriah would have died, David could have married her lawfully. That's right, and polygamy was allowed in those days. We know the scriptures. But instead, he lusted after that. I'm talking about a blemish now, all right? That sounds bad. We know the whole story.
Right.
He gave him a letter. Actually, tried to get him drunk first because he had slept with his wife and got her pregnant.
Yep.
Wanted to cover it up. Man, we'd have kicked this pastor out a long time ago.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that you justify the sin, neither did David. Look, listen to me now. David went, couldn't get him to drunk because he was too much of a man of God. He said, I ain't going to lie with my wife. The Joab and the armies are out there fighting. I can't be in here lollygagging around. I want to be there fighting too.
Right.
God help us.
Amen.
That's right. So David said, well, I can't do nothing about it, so I'll write him a letter. And David was so convinced of this man's faithfulness, he wrote his own death warrant and gave it to the man. He never looked at it. Why? He's faithful. Went to Joab. Joab said, all right, got to do it. Brought him to the front of the wall, pulled away. He died. David brings Bathsheba in, comfort, you know, and they move on and act like, oh, got her done. No problems. God remembered it.
Amen.
God remembered it. And God came and sent the prophet Nathan. Came to him and said, hey, there's someone in Israel. He's got a whole herd of sheep. But he had some friends over one day and decided, hey, there's this blind man. He had a sheep and he treated, you know, this family had cared for it like one of their children. And he went and he took that sheep and killed it for his friend. What shall be done to that man? David said, that man's going to die. David was writing his own death sentence for a man that killed a sheep. And he had killed a man.
Right.
And stole his wife. What did Nathan say? We need more men of God like this. Right in the king's face. Look, both men of God. But one in the will, one not.
Right.
Look David in the eyes. And said, you are the man. And this is what showed what David really was. What looked like to us, and look, he didn't mean to do it. He shouldn't have done it. We all know that. He was a sin. But what was God showing? Here's a real son of God. The word came and said, David, you're the man. You killed him, but I forgive you. Oh, glory. And David accepted that. What did he say? He said, but you're going to suffer for the rest of your days for it. Show me one time David complained.
Never.
Show me one time David said, oh, why is Absalom doing this? Why is Abner doing that? Why are my sons doing it? He never said nothing about it. Why? He accepted the word.
Amen.
And he humbled himself and said, I've made a mess of it. But Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Yes.
What did he show? That's a real man of God. I think 1,000 times more of David on that day than I do when he slew Goliath.
Right.
He could have done like kings later on where prophets came with the word of the Lord and they said, put this guy in jail.
Right.
Don't come in here and make a mockery out of me. But he showed he's a real man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hope this is speaking to you tonight.
Yes.
We think of Paul and his mighty ministry and what God did through him and all the miracles we see all the time. But what do we find that really shows us who he really was? What brings glory out of his life? Was a man who said, I prayed 3 times this get out of my life.
Uh-huh.
And God won't take this throne out of my life. But he came and told me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, I will rather glory in my infirmities. Hallelujah. Ah. It's easy to serve God when you're on the mountaintop casting out devils and everything's running scared from you. But here's a man, he's been in shipwreck, he's been stoned. And what did he say? He said, I'm even here, faithful to the word, and God is still letting me go through it.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? I'll glory in my infirmities.
Amen. That's right.
The same man we think what a Superman. Thank God for Romans chapter 7, or we'd all gave up on serving the Lord. But he said, you know what? When I want to do good, evil is present.
Yeah, right.
So what wretched man I am. Because
right.
Every time I'm trying to do the will of God, there's something pulls me aside. The greatest faith I have in this prophet is his willingness to stand behind a pulpit and tell the truth about himself. When I see a man who's willing to get up and say, you know what, I'm not even fit to preach right now because I've lost my love for the people. Can't say that to most message people no more, but he did.
That's right.
He said, Lord, I've missed it. He said, until I get that love back, I got to do something. If we didn't have those, when we go through hard times, what would we do?
Right.
It's over. I'm supposed to be the perfect bride of Christ. But what's this blemish in my life? What's this hardship for? And that's easy when it's just something on the outside, but when it's you and you made the mistake.
Right, amen.
That's where we find out what we believe and what we don't. I didn't plan on shouting and screaming, but it's the truth nonetheless.
It is. Amen.
And without understanding this in this day, you'll quit.
That's true.
You'll give up.
Yeah.
It'll be too hard. You'll say, Lord, this doesn't make sense. But yet the Bible said when God's perfect son, we all believe Jesus to be the perfect son of God, the perfect image of a man. When he came, the Bible tells us this in Hebrews 2. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. How was the first son brought into perfection? And to really, now look, perfection, he didn't have blemishes as far as sin. I hope you're not misinterpreting me. But what it wasn't complete yet. It hadn't fulfilled the commission. When he came and cast out devils and healed the sick and raised the dead, you never see him satisfied with that. What does he say? He said, are you a king? He said, to this end was I born.
Amen.
He says, why? Why are you king? What are you trying to do? I'm setting up a kingdom. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it by dying. And what looks like the worst, it looks like the end, it looks like he sacrificed. Even the disciples thought he was throwing away the ministry. What's the whole point? He was here.
Amen.
Was to be bruised. As he said, bruised his heel. Bruised from top to bottom, bleeding more than any man's ever bled before. Suffered more than any man's ever suffered.
Right.
Many people just point at the crucifixion and say, oh, that ain't bad. I'm talking from day birth to the end.
Uh-huh.
He suffered more than anyone's ever suffered. Because what was the main thing that made him suffer, brother, sister? Brother Bram says he didn't die from them piercing his hands. He didn't die from the lashes. He died from a broken heart. Because he had bore the sins of the world all of his days.
Sure.
And when he went to finally pay him, what did they say? Crucify him. We don't want nothing to do with you. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You're... And people think they're not doing it in this day. But when you say it about the word... When you say it about the anointed word, you're crucifying him again.
Amen.
Yep. Hallelujah. Brother Bram says this in God's Only Provided Place of Worship, 1965. We are bone, we are flesh and bone of him. As long as we are the bride of Christ, do you believe that? All right, he died for us. And we died to ourselves and are buried in his name, that we would no more be of the world but of him, of which both the family in heaven is named after Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1:21. For both heaven, the family in heaven, what's the name? Or what's the family in heaven's name? Jesus. What's the family on earth's name? Well, that's the house of God where the blood's at. Is that right? That's the door. That's the gate. That's the place he put his name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's the Word reflecting and sparking out off the age that you're living in. That's what he was. That's what Moses was. That's what Jacob was. That's what the rest of them was. Sparking off of that Word of God, the reflector that God was reflecting himself, and come to that perfect image of God, Jesus Christ. God's masterpiece was struck that he might take the rest of them for a bride that's been reflecting him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Peter had a theology like a lot of us do. That it's really hard, so this can't be God's will. This is just doesn't make sense, so there's no way this is the will. He looked at Jesus and he just done told him, I'm about to go die. Looked him in the face and said, you'll never die.
Right.
I'm willing to go to death for you. Yeah. Yeah, you might talk a good talk, but without the Holy Ghost, you a coward.
That's right.
That's right, because he could say it, and the second temptation came, he folded like a big baby.
That's right.
He said, and he looked Peter right in the face. He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right.
I've got a commission. I've got to fulfill it. To them, it was a blemish. You're ruining your perfect ministry. But to God, it was the crowning of his ministry. Because once that life was laid down, all men would be redeemed.
Amen.
Glory to God. And him being blemished caused us to be perfect.
Amen.
And in this day, we finally get it. He's not making us perfect. Oh, glory. By boning us from what we are. No, he's bringing us back to what we were before all this happened.
Yeah.
The whole blemish on the world, the blemish in your life, is really sin.
Right.
Your whole life, the effect of sin is the one blemish in your life. But you are learning a lesson here on earth that you will carry for eternity.
Amen.
You're fulfilling his desire through this blemish. Of sin in our life.
Right.
Of dealing with sin and learning hardship and being sick and having to be healed.
Right.
To being confused and needing a comforter.
Right.
Hallelujah. Being Pastor Winston and needing a counselor to come and show you the way.
Amen.
That's the whole reason this has happened to the whole world, is for us, his bride, to learn this lesson.
Amen.
Now look, brother, sister, he's cutting us. He's cutting us. He's mowing us. He's shaving us away. And what sounds, what feels, what hurts, like he's destroying you, is actually the very thing that's making you perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Yes,
it's one perfect blemish. It's the one thing he had to allow. Now look, when we cross over, brother, sister, sin's done.
Right.
Don't misinterpret me now. When we get over that, the effects of sin will be over. We won't have to worry about this. Brother Branham said, anything that's living now, he said, life was not meant to be easy.
Amen.
He said, anything that's trying to live has to struggle. Why? Because we're under a curse of death. So for you to go with the flow proves you're in the curse of death.
Because
that's where it's heading. For you to live, you have to fight against it.
Right.
And God's not asking you to fight. He put his life in you that will fight.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's more than a conqueror.
Yes.
And when we become one with him, when we recognize we're the same life, we're the same being, oh, glory to God, and that his blood has so sanctified us that he can use this vessel the same. Don't get discouraged by the blemish. Use it to the glory of God.
Amen.
If we would take that attitude when we get sick, we'd see the glory of God.
Sure.
If we took that attitude when hardships hit, we'd see the glory of God.
Lord.
Just, it's simple. I just heard a guy talking about shooting a gun. And he said it's simple. He said it's not easy, but it's simple.
That's right.
He said there's three things you got to do. I don't know why. Maybe this is why right here, but a little clip I saw. He said the first thing you got to do is hold the gun tight. You don't want it moving. You don't want to miss the target. And I can't remember the other one now. There's something in between there. Oh, learning how to aim in the first place. The third one is to pull the trigger without moving. I think it's what we need to do too. Man, we get it set on getting our healing, don't we? Get it nice set in there good. Heard the word today. Okay, got it aimed right on this sickness. And then when we go to do it, what happens? We get a little jerk. What if it don't work? I'll bring reproach on his name. And he said, you could jerk the littlest bit. Don't matter, you're going to miss 6 to 8 inches.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. We need a good grip on the word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Need a good hand of faith. And really what we need to do is close our eyes and let him open his own eyes. And say, Lord, you pull the trigger because that way I won't move.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you.
Please don't walk out of here a legalist trying to get perfect. I tried to hit that from the start. The way we get there is by faith.
Amen.
That Christ, you did this.
Yes.
And I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm man enough to keep believing it no matter what happens.
Amen.
And I'm not going to try to make it happen. I'm just going to keep believing it.
Yes.
I'm going to keep saying it. Yes. Was it that feels the other way? I don't care. That's a blemish, but it's working for God's glory somehow.
Amen.
All things are working together for good to them that love
yeah.
God.
Amen.
To them who are the called according to God's purpose.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to recognize I am part of this masterpiece.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Give me a few quotes and I'll try to bring this to a close tonight. You love the Lord.
Yes, I do love him.
He is cutting us, but brother, sister, what looks like destruction, I'm telling you, is making you perfect. Peter even told you to wait out. Says, these trials, and as long as we just have, you know, somebody say a few words about us or, you know, it got my order wrong at Wendy's. And so, as long as we have those trials, we can suck this down. Saying, yeah, my trial is worth more than gold.
Wow.
But then you start getting real ones.
Right.
And you start looking at the scriptures. And look at what men is. That, go read Hebrews 11. It's in mercy. Whew. Guy was cut in half.
Trial.
This is a man who saw angels. Seraphims, actually. Heard the temple shake. Yet at the end of his ministry, it's a blemish to us, isn't it? Why would you put a ministry down that way? You know the prophets, right?
Right.
Even these prophecies go forth that he made a false step or whatever. You know what? At the end of the day, that don't matter anyways. We're all human. We all make mistakes.
Right.
You show me where that revelation's wrong.
Yeah.
Cool. It just say, I'm not following him as a man because he's got blemishes like you and I do. But the revelation that came through him is not a man. It's the man.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he still lives today.
Yes, he does.
And there will be a voice. There will be a bride who believes this. There will be Oh, hallelujah. A church redeemed back.
Amen.
Through this blemish of sin, they will come out a bride without blemish,
amen,
without spot, without wrinkle, and she will be back in that perfect image of the Son of God again.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Praise God!
Whew, glory to God. All right, I'm just going to read it instead of paraphrasing. Listen now, Masterpiece 1964, it says, the masterpiece must be cut. Notice, cut for what? Let me skip down a little bit here. He says, his life matched all the people's. It pleased God to smite him. And now, why did they smite him? For the same cause he had to smite Adam. For now, when we see him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, the perfect lamb for sinners slain, a perfect masterpiece. For nearly 2,000 years, God has been making him a masterpiece. Because he struck Adam to get a piece off of him, part of him, a rib to make a wife for him. And now that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, he got a piece of off of him. It's just the New Testament, that's all. Glory to God. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Now it's the New Testament, another piece to be fulfilled. See, the new and the old is husband and wife. Show me where that's not, that where that is outside of this message.
Wow.
That the Old Testament, New Testament are actually just husband and wife.
Amen.
That's good.
Hallelujah. And it was taken, the old foreshadowed the new. Christ come, the masterpiece, to fulfill that. Now his bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. Another masterpiece is in making. And it taken him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece. Now he's been for nearly 2,000 years making another masterpiece, a bride for Christ, another masterpiece. And so doing it, he does it by his never changing method, the same way he made the masterpiece. His word. That's the way he makes his masterpieces, because he can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's the perfect word. Any dirt, trash, injections, it'll break, but the heavens and earth will pass away, but the word will never break. You remember, in cutting a diamond, that you have to have a perfect tool to do it with. Not just any piece will do it. I've seen tons of them. Big grinders crash right through it. Move them big tons over. Pass that diamond right on through. No, it don't break the diamond. It has to be cut. Now he's doing the same thing in his never-changing method. We find out in Malachi 3, he said, I am God and I change not. He can't not change his method. Now, as he started in Abraham, after the fall of the first masterpiece, he started in Abraham on a foundation to build another masterpiece. He started on the day of Pentecost to build another masterpiece. The original seed word started in the first church. What was it? The seed word. The word manifested the promise that had been given. Joel said, it'll come to pass in the last days. God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. What would he do in these last days, these last 2,000 years? Identify Masterpiece of God, 1964. He said, he is making a bride. Yes, sir. He's chewing the chips now, chopping off the world. Oh, church joining and creeds and denominations and dogmas, all has to be cut away from the church. Their formal ideas, their indifferences, their doctrines and things, come back and let the master pick up the bow. He's almost striking the ground now. He says, let the master pick you up in his hand, strike the word, say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Say, amen, Lord. Make me, mold me. Make me, Lord, what I should be. Then there'll be a different thing. Then if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Yes, sir. He is cutting you out now. Cutting you down to his word only. Cutting all the creeds and dogmas and everything away from you. Trying to get back to a bride for the Son. Another masterpiece. Part of the word. The word. Jesus couldn't take the place. You remember when you read that day in the book? He read just part of the prophecy. Left the rest of it for the last day. How many knows that out of Isaiah? He says he picked it up and read it. He said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And he put it away. And he said there would come a day of the dreadful day of the Lord.
Right.
He said he left that for this day.
Amen.
So even his own word, it just proves the New Testament was all speaking of the second masterpiece. Everybody gets focused on the first, and it does come from him. But the whole New Testament is building up the bride of Christ.
Amen.
The whole Old Testament had one pinnacle it was pointing to, Christ coming.
Right.
the groom coming, the masterpiece that God had made of what a man ought to be. Now through this, through his redemption and this process of 2,000 years, God is showing what a woman ought to be.
Amen.
Glory to God. Showing what the Garden of Eden was supposed to be from the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me finish this quote. Stay with me now. See, he was cut off. So you see, he has cut, wants to cut the church out, just like he did the son out, like he did the bride and the groom. To be his bride, you must be part of him. Not part of the creed, not part of the church, not part of the denomination, but a part of him. Hewed out of any other kind of a form won't work. You got to be hewed from the Word. The world cut off of you and just leave the Word only live in you. The great sculptor, listen to this, is counting on you.
Amen.
Willing to stand and have yourself shaped into the likeness of his requirement that his word requires. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Christ is the identified masterpiece of the word made flesh. You are asked to identify yourself in him by the same word to be the masterpiece for the bride.
Hallelujah.
That's where you come in. That's when your free moral agency meets the promise of the predestinated word. If you are a part of that word, you will make the choice to stand.
Amen.
And let the master shave you.
Amen.
No matter what people have done, no matter what people have said, no matter what cuts, it's what the word says, Lord, make me.
Amen.
And if you look, he's cutting it off. Why is he cutting it off? It ain't you in the first place. He's molding just like Michelangelo did. Any sculptor, what do they say? How do they do it? None of us get this, but if you're a sculptor, they say, you get rid of everything that doesn't look like what you're doing.
Right.
Everything that didn't look like Moses, that's how he did it. He just shaved it off, and here we are. Why do I got to go through this? Why is this happening? God sees things don't look like him. Got to get them shaved off.
Amen.
And it ain't really your mind's business what others need shaved. And if we would all be honest with ourselves and really be honest with the Lord, you'd be so concerned with you serving him. You don't have time for anyone else like that.
Amen.
I'm not saying don't pray for each other. I'm not saying if God leads you, there's something that's we understand the leading of the Lord in those things. But too many times we get it up here. They're doing this wrong. And I just read that out of the world's falling apart, and it really encouraged me once again. I've always believed this, but sometimes the world comes back. The Lord's got to come back and show us once again. He said the reason it's falling apart is because man's trying to do it his method. Let me actually find that real quick. I think I'm on the same page. Yeah, he says this. He says, talking about them coming and preaching about women. He says, how can I teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? He said, the more you preach, the worse they get. So you see, the whole system is rotten, falling apart. That's all. God will not save the world by an organization or a system. He'll save it by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Word made manifest. When we think about governing a church and governing a household and governing a life and trying to be a man of God, how are you going to do it? By the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. How is God supposed to lead us? By the Holy Spirit. How are you supposed to know what the Holy Spirit is saying? Well, that's part of the reason you should be coming to church. I hope that's why you came here, for the Holy Spirit to get the hold of the Word and tell you what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
That's right. Otherwise, you done missed the whole point of being here today.
Sure.
It's not to hear from Brother Andrew. It's not to think I'm picking on you or I care in that regard. It's between you and him.
Amen.
But don't get mad at the messenger.
Amen.
People had that problem with Brother Branham.
Right.
Said, who are you to tell us?
Right.
They had that problem with Jesus. And if that's how God's made every masterpiece, it's going to happen again. That's right, brother, sister. God's not going to make a church. Let me say it like this. Many times a pastor will feel that what somebody does in the assembly is their fault. You might not believe that, but I know now that somehow I've done the wrong thing, and this is why that's happened. And you think, well, maybe I could go do this and fix it. Say this, and maybe that'll help. And these are thoughts now. I'm not going to say I've never done anything like that. I'm a human just like anyone else. But I'm going to say it like this. I came real quick. That ain't how you do it. The Holy Spirit will do it.
Amen.
You know what? I've taken that route. Now, that's not being complacent. That's not ignoring problems. It's saying, Lord, you have to fix this or it ain't going to get fixed.
Amen.
And if you can get a group of people to believe that way,
amen.
That will get indifference out.
Yeah.
That will get us all on the same page. That will bring one mind and one accord.
Yeah.
That, you know what, even if brothers, I've been picking on you for a few services, Brother Dan's got a problem. So I don't know why you act that way, man. You didn't shake my hand with love. I didn't feel no love out of that. You could go run a complex. You could go tell everybody about it. Or you could say, Lord, love my brother. You just help him out. Give him a revelation.
Right.
And if look, I'm going to tell you right now, if God leads you to talk to somebody like that, it's going to be on both sides.
Amen.
And if you go thinking you led to say something, and it ain't on both sides, I just go ahead and back up and say, I'm sorry, brother. Love you. Forgive me. Let's move on.
Amen.
Joe Forney, I think it's Joe Forney, maybe not. No, I think it's Brother Burley one time. Dealing with a couple brothers, they're getting mad about this, mad about that. So he said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to let you both in that room, and I want you to say everything you hate about each other about. I want you to go in there and just say everything you want. I'll come back in a little bit. So he just sat him in the room, and he walked out. You know what happens when he came back? They were hugging each other, loving each other. You know why? Because we believe a lie from the enemy. And it starts with this little complex. Maybe them, maybe you, doesn't matter. And what happens, that begins to grow. And before you know it, you're mad at a person that does not exist.
Right.
I've caught my students in this a few times. This one girl kept kind of smarting off at me all the time. And I'm like, and her name's Kylie. It's like, Kylie, why are you mad at me all the time? It's like, well, can you do this? You do this? I'm like, I don't care. I'm not mad at you. There's nothing wrong. I think you're making up a Mr. Kressel. And she's like, you know what? I think I am. And sure enough, been kind of buddy-buddy ever since then. You know, because Satan's the ruler of this world. And if he can defile you in the littlest bit, he's going to do it. Because that he don't stop there. He drives that wedge in. Before you know it, you hate everybody.
True.
Before you know it, everybody's a devil.
Right.
You might be right a lot of times. There's a lot of devils in the world. But that ain't the point. Now let me bring us to a close. Just turn with me and I will close on this. Romans 8. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Listen to this. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Before you get discouraged, please read the next verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. These blemishes, these hardships, these, what is it? It's us suffering with Him. What's it for? To manifest the promised word. What's the promised word in this day? It's sons of God. Back in their dominion like they were told from the very beginning. Take the earth and subdue it.
Amen.
Take the earth.
Amen.
And subdue it.
Amen.
If you can conquer this thing, you conquer the world, no problem.
That's right.
Paul said, I've suffered shipwreck. I've been persecuted. I've been robbed. He said, none of those things move me. But the Bible told us a man that can't control his own spirit is like a city without walls.
That's right.
You already done. Hallelujah. How many wants to be God's masterpiece?
Yes.
How many believes all these things that you're going through? And I don't know it all, but He does.
That's right.
It looks like a blemish. It looks like it's destroying you. But how many says, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, give me faith tonight as we stand. Give me faith tonight to accept that this is Your will to make me what I'm supposed to be. Give me strength, Lord, to endure the trials of this life, that You might be glorified in my life. Hallelujah. He paid a debt He did not owe. 398, if you don't know it, just a little chorus. He paid a debt
He did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Look to him now, Lord.
And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Sing that chorus again.
He paid a debt he did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could.
Get the spirit of worship tonight. Believe it with all your heart as we sing it again.
He paid.
It's already paid.
He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed some.
Thank you, Jesus.
To wash my sins away.
Praise your name tonight, Lord.
And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes,
he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song.
Lord Jesus,
amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Yes, Lord.
He's all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all.
Look to him for help.
For he's all.
He's in you.
I need.
He never leaves you or forsakes you.
He's all I need. Oh, Jesus is all I need.
I take him now. By faith, I take him now.
Oh, I take him. Take him now.
with us tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Every head bowed. Thank you, Jesus. Don't bow to a church. Don't even bow just in respect of an idea. Bow to Him. You believe this, that He's here with us still today. That He knows you got needs. He knows them a lot better than even you think you know them. And He paid a big debt. He paid for every single one of your needs. Lord said He didn't necessarily give you everything you want, but He will give you everything you need. Hallelujah. That word, that promise, even Him being here, it's hard for us to understand this. But God has so decreed, He's a perfect gentleman. He can't make you accept it. He won't make you accept it. But it's your choice what you want to do with the word you've heard tonight. It's a challenge. It's not an easy road. In order to live, you got to struggle against death. You got a need tonight. I can't help you. I can pray with you. And I believe the word for that. But even that's only because it's the word of God. It's not because of me. It's not even because of you. It's because of Him and His promise. Take that faith in your heart. If you've been saved already, take that same faith that you got saved by. Take that same faith you were born again by and apply it to your need now. How'd you get it? You didn't earn it. You didn't try to work for it. You accepted what He said He did.
Amen.
And no matter what comes, no matter how contrary it looks, are you willing to reach up tonight with a hand of faith and say, Lord, You're the only one. I can't go nowhere else. But I take You. I take You for all I need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You. Oh, I want to encourage you tonight. Reach up and take it. Confess it right now. Be bold with it. Come against the enemy. Hallelujah. That's why I believe we respect God. That's why I believe we're not looking around, because you've got to recognize it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It's God. This is a promise on my heart. And Lord, I need it tonight. I can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's evil's enough as is. I need help tonight. And I believe the promised word. I believe in the revelation of this hour, that this word isn't meant to be in your mind. This word is to be anointed by the Spirit and come to pass in your life. A reality. If you want to get saved, would you humble yourself and receive it tonight? You'll get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You watch the devil come, start making people, well, I'm ashamed, I'm this. Don't look at none of that. It ain't about you. It's about Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all find ourselves wretched in the presence of God. We all find ourselves short in that great light. But when the blood comes and washes you clean, and you've got faith in what that blood did, you can approach the holy presence of God. And the Bible told you not to even come haphazardly. It didn't even tell you to come in what we think of as respect. It told you to come boldly. It told you to come as if you know what you're doing.
Yes.
And you know who you're talking to. How can I get delivered, Brother Andrew? How can I get the Holy Ghost? The way God gave one man the Holy Ghost, the way He gives every man the Holy Ghost. Faith in His Word. The Bible says if you'll repent, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's an absolute.
Yes.
If you find yourself after you've got the Holy Ghost getting out of fellowship, it can happen. Praise God, backslid's not lost.
That's right.
But the bride's not going backslid. The way back is still the same. Repent. Back in fellowship with God. Before you think you can't do it, remember the same God who took drinking away from you. Remember the same God who took the pleasure of the world and gave you holiness in your heart, the same God that did all that can still take this mountain as well. Hallelujah. It's so simple. It's the Holy Spirit, brother, sister. And most of you know that I'm not being haphazard. This is very directed. But I don't want to discourage you. It's you who's doing that. It's your faith. You're touching Him. What little I know is just for to encourage you. But when it's in the end of the day, you got to go home and you got to know you're delivered when you go to bed. You got to know you're delivered when you wake up. You got to know that you're a son of God and you've got authority. And it doesn't matter what Satan does, you're healed tonight. You're saved tonight. You're redeemed tonight. You're in the will of God. Glory to God. Now keep raising in faith. Don't back down now. Give God praise for it as He touches you. Give Him praise for it. Say, Lord, thank You for delivering me. Thank You for... Say, Lord, it's that simple. I believe that tonight, Lord. I don't have to suffer like this no more. I don't have to suffer in sickness. I don't have to suffer in sin. I don't have to be bound by the enemy. I don't have to have complexes. I don't have to be defeated all the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keep praising Him now. Don't let down now. Struggle for that life. Come against the enemy. Let the violent take it by force. Oh, when we raise our hands, it's surrender. But as you surrender, He takes over. And He comes as a man of war, packing a sword of His word. And He'll cut every devil out of your way. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this gathering of Your saints. I thank You for the faith that's dropped in the people of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, get away from these people. We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go walk in dry places. Glory to God. Lord, I raise Your children as trophies of this message. Trophies that don't believe in no matter what Satan does. Glory to God. Oh, believe with all your heart. Lord Jesus, thank You tonight, Father. Thank You, Lord. You're worthy of praise. Thank You for doing what no man can do. Glory to God. It's that simple. Humble yourself. Receive it that way. And you'll know what the true Holy Ghost is all about.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. It won't be a thought no more. You'll be tasting it. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can look at an apple and say, that's a mighty good apple. That might be sweet. That might be sour. But find the man that's eating it. He'll tell you all about it. Oh, glory. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't let the devil tell you that it's a defeat to serve God. It's victorious. Don't let the devil tell you you surrendering is you giving up. No, it's you getting the victory.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Oh, that's victory. That's liberty in the house of God. He's proven Himself here amongst us again. I challenge you to believe every promise in the Word of God tonight. Believe it with all your heart. Lay it right there before God. He wants you to.
Yes.
He wants to be challenged. Woo! Glory. He's looking the whole world for somebody to believe His word. Has He found souls here in defiance tonight? I believe He has. Woo! Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We praise Your holy name. Oh, we praise Your holy name. Oh, please don't wait for some special all the time. This is it here.
Yes.
This is what you're looking for.
Yes.
Woo. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe He's He's all we need. I believe You took Him now. As the script, the next verse, I will worship Him. I think we ought to do that now. Hallelujah. We'll sing that together. No, I will worship Him.
I will worship Him. I will worship
Him. In spirit and in truth.
Oh, in spirit and in truth.
Look to Him.
Yeah.
Come out and you worship. I will worship. I've got victory tonight.
Oh, in spirit.
Doubt your doubts.
And in truth.
Glory.
I will worship Him. I will worship Him in spirit and in truth.
One more time. Pour out your heart to God tonight.
Oh, I will worship Him.
Yes, Lord.
I will worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes, Lord. Let's give Him praise tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You for the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank You for the victory tonight. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Oh, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight. I thank Him for being here with us. And I believe that same Spirit that's given us victory tonight is going to raise us up from the grave one of these days. Going to raise us out of this mortality and put us in immortal bodies. Hallelujah. Because that same Spirit is going to raise us up. Let's sing that.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, dwells in you. Oh, if that same,
come on now,
Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken,
yes, Lord,
your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit dwells in you.
Let's make it personal. Dwells in me.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ
dwells in me.
Dwells in me. Dwells in me.
Yes, Lord.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Dwells in me. Oh, it will.
Yes, Lord. My mortal body.
If that Spirit,
I believe it, Lord,
dwells in me, it will quicken my mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in me
with all your heart,
oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body.
Thank you, Lord.
If that Spirit dwells in me, it will quicken my mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in me.
Give me a clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Just take a taste of it. You wonder why I'm crazy. I believe it. I'm not getting another Holy Ghost later. This is the one. What filled me is going to change me. It is changing me. One day we'll be all done. Glory to God. And that's what we're living for tonight. How many believes that?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be in God's house tonight. It was good to be in His presence. Thank you, Lord. How many loves Him with all your heart? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just put that promise before we go. Let's be dismissed on this. Just what will it be when we get over yonder? I just can't quit singing that. How many knows that's true?
Yes.
She's over there, brother. Isn't that right? She ain't dead. She lives.
Amen.
I got grandma waiting. She lives. Brother Bram lost his mother. What did the Lord do? Took him right to that scripture. So she's not dead. She sleeps. See, not missing anymore, not being confused anymore, not being just perfect love on every side. See, Brother Andrew, getting loopy. I feel like I'm there now. I really do. I just, no complex, no worried about what anybody's saying. It's over there in that glorious land with my Savior, with my brothers, with my sisters. Satan can't get in no more and divide people. He said, make us hate people that don't even exist. It's done. Gone. Perfect love all the time. That's what we're living. Sell out everything and serve the Lord. God bless you.
Will it be when we get over yonder?
Yes, Lord.
And join the throng upon the last sea. Well, I'll join my loved ones and crown Christ forever. Yes, this is just what heaven means to me.
You can be dismissed tonight. God bless you, saints. Go ahead.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? I'm going to join my loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, Lord, this is just what heaven needs.